Father in heaven, we do come before you. Once again, we acknowledge that we are in need of your grace. We need in need of the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who guided the writers of this epistle, this letter, is also the one who is here with us today. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would guide and direct us, that you would be that teacher that we are in need of, that you would open our hearts so that we may be able to receive the wonders that are found here in this portion of your holy word. So we ask your blessing upon our time together. Speak, Lord, from heaven, and may you grant unto us the ears to hear, hearts to receive, and feet to do your will. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I want to just point out to you just before we get into the sermon, I think it's important, is as you were hearing the word read, the one thing that really strikes me, and hopefully it strikes you as well, is the use of the word we. Throughout this letter, the pronoun that we find concerning the authors is we. Most of Paul's letters, the pronoun that you find is I. He's writing it personally, himself. But at the very beginning of the letter, the first verse is Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church. And so as we read 1 Thessalonians, what we find is a letter from multiple individuals. This is a letter from not just Paul, but also from Silas and Timothy. Keep that in mind as we open our text. So as I'm looking at our text this morning, we're looking at verses 10 through 16. We're continuing on in their communication, their love and care and concern for the church, the mission work there in Thessalonica. As I was reading this passage, the thing that struck me is the grace that's found there and the instruments of grace, which is Paul and Timothy and Silas, communicating to instruments of grace. Those who were not instruments of grace, but were instruments of wrath, who through the gospel now have become recipients of grace. And now through this letter, there's two things going on here. There is the preparing of these recipients of grace to be instruments of grace. And secondly, the actual words we have here are the music from the instruments, Paul and Silas and Timothy, pronouncing and playing, if you will, the music of grace to the recipients of the letter, to us as well. And so the title of the sermon is obviously Instruments of Grace. If you think about Ephesians chapter 1, as we consider the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, there's something that he says that ties grace and music together. So if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." Notice that in verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, that we should be to the praise of his glory." And so praise ties the glory of God and the grace or the blessings of God together. That is our purpose here on earth. Your purpose is not necessarily to exist or survive, but your purpose is to glorify God. And praise is a way of glorifying God. Your words, your voice is music, or can be music, in the ears of God. One of the things that we think about when we come to this worship service we remind ourselves, or should remind ourselves, that we are not the audience. You are not the audience. Who's the audience of this worship service today? God is. We're the performers. God is the audience. Yes, he's the director, but he's also the audience. And so the purpose of this congregation is to glorify God. And part of that happens with the praises of God's grace from his people. According to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, what's man's primary purpose? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Notice the joy, the emotional element as well, that glorifying God engages and involves the whole person. The main point, grace distinguishes Christianity from every other religion in the world. Those whom God calls and saves are entrusted with many great blessings. The Apostle Peter encourages us, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Or another way of saying it, you have been entrusted with an instrument of glory and of grace. Play that instrument in a manner that is worthy of God in your calling. Our text this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. And as we look at what we have before us, let's consider, first of all, God. Who is God in relations to the Thessalonians, in relations to Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and in relations to us? God is the one in the beginning that created all things. Why? Why did God create everything? This morning in Sunday school, one of the things that we talked about was, why did God allow the evil to continue? Why did God allow Cain, after he killed Abel, to continue to live? And one of the answers was to reveal the long-suffering of God, to reveal the mercy of God, to reveal the justice of God. And we could go on and on and on. Why is it that God created all things? To reveal himself, to reveal who he is, his attributes, and so on. God, from the beginning, created all things for his own glory. That includes you. You exist for his purposes, for his glory. He is the master instrument maker. He has created you with a purpose, and he has designed you. As David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am an instrument in the hand of the master musician, who is also the master craftsman, who has created me to be able to play a melody that is pleasing unto his ears. You have a purpose. That purpose is to glorify him and enjoy him forever. One of the amazing things about grace is the awareness that we have of God's intervention in our lives. I was thinking about that recently, just thinking back 42 years ago and before that, my life before Christ and after Christ, and the contrast between the two. Do you ever stop and meditate on that? Think about the difference for those of you that have that remembrance, that awareness. And if not, what about the awareness of just walking with Jesus? My wife and I are going through a devotion, and we were talking about this week. It talked about grace, and it was probably some of the most convicting devotions that we found. Grace convicts us of our need for more grace, an awareness of our sin, an awareness of our need for grace, our need for the work of the Spirit in our lives. That awareness is an element of grace. God is the musician. And in our text today, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are the instruments through which grace comes. And so as we read our text, we are reading the beautiful music that God is playing, God is communicating. So keep that in mind. And the other point, like I said, is as recipients of these this instruments of grace, we are now also being changed and prepared to be instruments of grace and of glory, grace to others and glory to God. So a second point, we are his chosen instruments. So how do we minister to others as instruments of grace? Well, as we were listening to chapter 1 being read, we actually were hearing the notes of that great ministry. So let's just review. Now, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Paul, Timothy, and Silas are speaking concerning how God had shaped and prepared them through conflict at Philippi, to be able to come to Thessalonica and to with boldness preach the gospel. Through that affliction, they said, they were driven out from Philippi. They had a ministry opportunity there, but they were cast aside, if you will. They had to flee, and so they came to Thessalonica, and it did not hinder them from speaking. As a matter of fact, we read in the book of Acts, Paul was saying that he went into the synagogue. It was said that he went into the synagogue for three Sabbaths and was bold to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah, till the point where he was cast out. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. And our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Notice that. God tests the hearts, and God approved them to be instruments through which the music of the gospel was being played by and for the congregation. There's an attack that is coming upon them, and they're responding to it. They're defending themselves. Verse 5, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you yourself know, or a cloak of covetousness. And notice that God is witness. So we'll actually call upon God as witness twice in this letter. Nor do we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you. We already mentioned that last week. We were like little babies among you. We were like nursing mothers, cherishing you as her own children. Our affection towards you, our longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives. The grace of God was such that it came through them not only in their words, but in their very lives. That the musical instrument that God had prepared, including the non-musical element, the non-verbal element, the actions of the instrument through which grace was applied, was brought to the brethren. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, laboring night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God, and you are witnesses of this, and so is God. So here we see that use of the instrument of God, even these apostles, these sent ones. So how is it that we are called to minister to others as instruments of grace? Notice verses 1 through 9, which we just saw. We see bold, faithful, and compassionate service as a nursing mother. But secondly, look at our text beginning in verse 10. You are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believed. Notice that. We were holy, we were justly, and we were unbelievable. We were without reproach. In other words, as they looked at these servants of God as these instruments, there was no fault found. They lived what they believed. They lived what they preached. They believed the gospel. They lived the gospel, and the people saw it. And he says, and they said, you are witnesses of this. And God also. There is evidence, the work of God in our lives, that our behavior was like the behavior of Job. When Satan came and brought accusations against God and against Job, God said, my servant is blameless. Satan tested him, and what was the response? God said, he is blameless. Even in the challenges that they're facing, notice verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Notice this, I don't know if you noticed before, they refer to themselves as nursing mothers. And now they're referring to themselves as loving fathers, disciplining fathers. So they reference themselves actually three ways. We are like babies amongst you, innocent babies. Number two, we loved you and we cherish you and we nourish you like a nursing mother. And then also as a loving father who disciplines and challenges and encourages their children. So we were among you, comforting and challenging as a father. So we read from verses 13 on through 16 how to minister to others as recipients of grace. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same thing from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both our Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men. And so there's many things. Well, let's kind of think through some of those things. How does that apply to us? Again, God is the master craftsman, and God is the musician. One thing about musicians is that they listen to their own music. Many times, they find that they do not live up to their expectation as they're playing. Either the instrument doesn't quite match up to what they would like it to be, or they see their own playing or whatever. The musician is the first to listen to his own or her own music. There's a necessity for the instrument to be properly tuned. And if it's out of tune, it can ruin a beautiful piece of music. The musician is the one who adjusts to the environment, to the situation, as well as to the adjusting the instrument to properly function. It is the musician that takes not only the instrument, but the timing of the instrument. I don't know if you know this, but when a piece of music is on the page, there is a certain element that the musician has to interpret. There's pacing, and there are elements that the musician brings to the piece. It's played differently by different musicians. In other words, God has a work in us as instruments. He's the master musician. He's the most important member of the audience or of the performers. Here is our calling as instruments, first of all as recipients, and then as instruments. Verse 13. For this reason we also give thanks, thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men. And so notice that first part. As I'm thinking through this passage, I'm in my mind's eye, I'm thinking of a great orchestra with musicians and they're playing. So if I haven't communicated that, I've been hoping that you would pick that up, that the congregation is like an orchestra and each of us are instruments. But in order, first of all, we have to receive that sound, if you will. Notice that receive the word. What is the word? What am I speaking right now? I am speaking sound with meaning, right? There's noise coming out of my mouth, and you're hearing it, but it's not just gibberish. It's noise that has a meaning to it, and the desire, at least of this instrument, is for you to understand and for that word, that meaning, to impact your life, your heart, right? There's many beautiful pieces of music, right? And they can impact you, your emotions, and so on. But how much more the word? Do we receive the word? That sound with meaning, that it would be effective to us, and through that, that word is what shapes and molds and prepares the instrument, you, to then be an instrument that is for God's praise and glory, for the revelation of God. Do you hear that? God is shaping and molding you to be an instrument of glory. Receive the word. Believe the word that God gives, that word of grace. Again, as we receive and trust in that word, it changes us, and that is communicated to other people. Other people see it. They see the difference that is in you compared to someone else. You may not get angry like somebody else would in a given situation. You're tested by a coworker, you're tested by a customer, your neighbor, family member, whatever, and your response is, God calls me to be patient with this individual. I'm going to not speak what I'm thinking about them right now. I'm going to be patient with them. The writers here, the instrument of the writers, are saying, you receive the word. You didn't receive it as the words of men, but as it truly is, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. Notice further, verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. They responded to the word by becoming followers of the churches of God. In other words, they joined the orchestra. Again, we are part of a larger body. There is an orchestra that's filled with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of instruments that are being performed or played right now throughout the world. The saints of God gather together as we sing his praises, as we sing to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, with grace, singing with melody in our hearts. Another place Paul talks about exhorting one another and teaching one another through these things. We are part of something larger than just Grace Reformed Church in Dickinson. We respond as followers of the great church. Notice furthermore, verse 15. Those who killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. Persevering in the trials and testings of the preparation and performance. Musicians don't normally go out and never pick up the instrument before and never pick up a piece of music that they've never played. When they perform, what is it that they first do? They first of all learn how to use the instrument. And secondly, they learn and practice the piece or pieces that they're going to play before they go out in public and they perform those. And part of that practice is perseverance, isn't it? Working at it till you get it right. Working on the perfecting of the abilities to play, perfecting that particular piece of music in order for it to accomplish what is intended. God, in his musical work, perseveres with us in using trials and testings to perfect the instrument and the music or the performance. It can be tiring and frustrating, that preparation. And so it is in our lives. Many times we're struggling with, what is God doing here? Well, he's working on perfecting this piece of music, this praise unto his glory of his grace. I am looking right now at the preparation rather than the performance. I'm stumbling over that. How many times is that true in your life? That we get so caught up and so frustrated in the failings, in the practices, in the preparations, forgetting that there's a performance coming up. Proverbs, we read, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. How much more so your lives, your words, are that beauty. Why is it beauty? Because it reveals the glory and beauty of God. Appropriate music moves the soul to praise and honor the master musician. And so again, just kind of drawing this to a close, what we find in our text today is two things. First of all, God using instruments of grace to minister to the saints there in Thessalonica and to us, if we have ears to hear the music that is there. Secondly, the purpose of that grace, that beautiful music that is being played here in our text, is to prepare us and to equip us to then be instruments in the hands of the master musician as he plays our lives, as he performs through us and brings both grace and glory to light in the world. Do we receive the hands of the master musician who's tuning us, who's preparing us and using us for his glory? Is that your testimony? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for your purpose for us. Before all eternity, you chose us in Christ to be instruments to the praise of the glory of your grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's in you that we can be instruments of grace and glory. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are doing that work in us. You are patiently tuning us. You're patiently working with us. And you are the one ultimately that works through us. You are the musician that play our lives and play us as instruments. And so we pray that you would continue to do that work of perfecting and using us as we go forth from this place and as we interact with mankind, with the world around us, that we would be those instruments of praise and glory and of grace, that others may see you, may see the triune God in ways that they have never seen before, and that those who know you not would come to faith in you, and those who know you would rejoice in even a greater joy in knowing and seeing the true God through us. And so we ask, O Lord, for your blessing in acquiring and being those instruments of grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.